Welcome to Australian Women Preach, a podcast that aims to raise women's voices in preaching the gospel. Our intention is to model the church we want to be, inclusive, diverse, and welcoming. Brought to you by WATAC, Women and the Australian Church, and The Grail in Australia. Janika Reyes is a proud Gimoi descendant, working to nurture and support young First Nations students at St Stephen's College, Mareeba. Nadine Grant is an educator and formation consultant in Catholic Education Cairns and is passionate about using dialogue as a way of promoting respect, inclusivity and friendship between people of different religious views and cultures. These women collaborated with First Nations Year 11 student Binda Yoye to produce thoughts and learnings on this week's readings.
Greetings, listening friends. It is a great privilege to be with you today. This recording is being made on Mullaridgee country. I would like to acknowledge and offer my deep respect to the Mullaridgee people who have cared for, lived on, and been connected to these lands, skies, and waterways for millennia. I honour their wisdom and ways and walk with them in hopeful anticipation of ongoing truth-telling, healing, and reconciliation in our nation. My name is Nadine Grant, and today I am joined by St. Stephen's College Year 11 student and proud descendant of the Tabalane Yidinji and Zenith Kessian people, Binda Yoye. With us also is Janika Reyes, a wise and strong young Gimoi woman who works as the Indigenous Liaison Officer at the college. The town name for where we are gathered is Mareeba, an Aboriginal word translated as meeting of the waters, and referring to the meeting of two local waterways, the Barron River and Granite Creek. Like these waterways connect, swirl, and blend upon meeting, this reflection on the readings of the first Sunday in Advent is a collaboration, a meeting and merging of stories and souls. The word Advent is derived from the Latin Adventus, meaning coming. And when the church celebrates this season each year, she makes present the ancient expectancy of the Messiah. In the first reading from Isaiah, we hear the plea of the ancient Israelites calling on the coming of God during the time of the post-Babylonian exile, a time of social, political, and economic upheaval, where the city of Jerusalem and the temple lay in ruins. Isaiah verse 64 laments, "Oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down with the mountains quaking before you." The prophet is unburdening his heart of its pain and calling on God to return to Israel to save them, to make life easier for them. This verse speaks to me of the belief in a God who will act, sweep in, a force to be reckoned with, noticed, and even feared. Is this the God I have known in my life? The God who I wait for during Advent? Unlike the ancient Israelites, we live with the glorious historical reality of the incarnation, the Word made flesh, the dwelling of God among us in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. This Jesus, who was born into our world without fanfare or power, and whose divine ministry wasn't about proving God's existence, but about teaching us what God is like and that God loves us unconditionally. During Advent, we are called on not only to celebrate these glorious past events, but the reality that Jesus is always in our midst, present. Franciscan priest and spiritual writer Richard Rohr sums this up beautifully when he says that in Advent, we are waiting to welcome the universal Christ, the cosmic Christ, the Christ that is forever being born in the human soul and into history. This is the Christ before and beyond the manger, the Christ who is knocking on the door of our hearts, waiting for us to recognize him and to make room for him.
Waiting expectantly calls to mind pregnancy, and I'm drawn to Mary, the God-bearer, who during the weeks before the birth of her son would have been experiencing a blend of emotions, including fear, anxiety, excitement, and joy. Like Mary over 2,000 years ago, I too am entering the final weeks of my first pregnancy. I too am waiting expectantly with joyful hope for my child to come, for this manifestation of love to appear in our lives. The nearness of this baby's arrival is emphasized as I feel stronger and more urgent movements inside. There is an awareness of the dwindling of space, and I prepare physically, mentally, and emotionally for the birth, yet still uncertain of when that day will come. I wait in a full and conscious way, amid the distractions of the end of the school year. I wait for love to come in the same form that it did on that first Christmas 2,000 years ago. It is challenging to wait fully and consciously. In today's gospel, Jesus reminds his disciples that they must remain alert and watchful, as they do not know the time when the Lord will come. The gospel author Mark repeats these words four times in a very short section, emphasizing the importance of avoiding a lapse into what Pope Francis describes as spiritual drowsiness or the slumber of indifference. If we relent to this sleepiness, we may miss Jesus in disguise, arriving as the people around us every day in our lives. He arrives in the students I work with who are suffering with the disappointment and feelings of hopelessness left from the veiled voice referendum. He arrives in the local families struggling under the burden of the high cost of living, who will receive groceries donated by the students at St. Stephen's at Christmas. My prayer as Advent begins is that we remain vigilant, watchful. Jesus is already here, but do we recognize him in our lives? Do we respond with action to the needs of the oppressed and the marginalized in our communities?
Waiting is something we are all accustomed to, but we do not necessarily do it with patience. I am the fourth child in my family, and this makes me wonder how Mum waited for me to arrive. Was it with the same joyful anticipation that Miss Reyes feels waiting for her first child? Or being her fourth time, was Mum less touched by the mystery and wonder of pregnancy and childbirth? It seems to me that mothers spend a good deal of their time waiting, well beyond the initial 9 months, waiting for their children to speak, walk, go to school, learn to drive, leave school, finish university. The waiting is ongoing. Observing my mum over time and seeing her excitement and anticipation build when she is anticipating the arrival of one of my older siblings who no longer lives with us hints to me that she is like the doorkeeper in verse 34 of today's gospel, always waiting and ready for love to come home. She showers my siblings with goodness and they experience all the warmth, acts of kindness and grace from God present through her words and actions. I wonder who your doorkeepers are. Who are the people that wait expectantly for you when everyone else has gone to sleep? Are they your parents, grandparents, aunts, teachers, or friends who are awake and waiting for you to knock so that they can welcome you in? As we light the first Advent candle, remain hopeful that your doorkeepers are watching, awake and alert to your arrival at any time. Prepared to envelop you in love, like a mother who has longed for her children to return home. God is our mother, waiting patiently to encounter us, to spend time with us, to love us.
In today's gospel, verse 34 of the parable describes each of the watchful servants as having their own task to do. During the church's season of preparation for Christmas, we are given time to pause and reconsider what these tasks may be. I am certain that Jesus is not referring to decorating the house, buying multitudes of gifts, or Christmas menu preparation. The tasks Jesus refers to have not changed over the 2,000 years since he was born. He defines for us many times throughout his ministry what we are called on to do as his disciples. And this wisdom has been translated for our times by the means of the tradition of Catholic social teaching. The Church's social teaching, with its emphasis on the inherent dignity of the human person, solidarity, the common good, and preferential option for the poor, offers us a way of thinking, seeing, and being in the world. But like the Corinthians of the second reading, who as a community are struggling to live an authentic faith without division, there are times when we falter, we are misguided, and we drift away from our main purpose as Christians. In his encyclical, Evangelii Gaudium, Pope Francis describes this authentic faith as one that always involves a deep desire to change the world, to transmit values, and to leave this earth somehow better than we found it. During Advent, while we are waiting for love to come, we are also called on to be that love for others, to swim against the tide of injustice and oppression, to reject cruelty and indifference, division and hatred. In our alertness, we are also encouraged to to truly see the hidden beauty in the world. All the acts of kindness, the joys in creation, all the graces and tender mercies that God is sending every moment in every day, all symbolic of God's unfathomable love for us. My goal this year is to make Advent a verb, a time of conscious living in joyful hope through words, prayer, and action within and for my family, my community, and the world. I hope you will join me.
You have been listening to Australian Women Preach, brought to you by WATAC, Women and the Australian Church, and the Grail in Australia. You can find out more about WATAC at watac.net.au and the Grail at grailaustralia.org.au. The music in this podcast is from the song Truth, from the album Into Silence, by songwriter, musician, theologian and teacher Danielle Ann Lynch. You can hear the full version on Spotify.